Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the news you should know about. Today, October, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We'll hear from a shelter helping survivors in Luzerne and Carbon counties. And as the Congolese community of Scranton grows, so does their garden. It's Wednesday, October 29th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start with some statewide news today. Pennsylvania officials are scrambling to address an expected rise in food insecurity. That's because President Donald Trump's administration will pause the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in November. As Jackson White reports for WVIA, payments will be frozen through the federal government shutdown.
Lebanon County resident Caitlin Stuber received her latest $300 SNAP check on October 9th. The 30-year-old leukemia survivor spent all but $70 of that money, mostly on frozen produce and breakfast sandwiches. She was under the impression that her November check would come soon, but the U.S. Department of Agriculture expects to pause SNAP during the government shutdown.
I used to have disability benefits, but they've been ceased for about 4 years now. So my only technical income was SNAP, and now I have nothing.
Nearly 2 million people in Pennsylvania will miss SNAP benefits in November. Democrats in the state Senate are proposing a $60 million program to help ease the burden on food banks and Meals on Wheels. Senator Art Haywood said the proposal wouldn't replace the $300 million Pennsylvania receives in monthly SNAP assistance.
But it is getting money to the organizations that can feed many Pennsylvanians who will be without food on November the 1st.
Senate Republican leaders didn't say whether they'd advance the proposal. Governor Josh Shapiro is also suing the USDA. He and other Democratic officials argue the agency should make $6 billion in SNAP reserves available during the shutdown. In Harrisburg, I'm Jackson White.
Thanks to Jackson White for that story. Back in Northeast Pennsylvania now, a growing number of refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo call Scranton home. To provide fresh food and savings, the community tends to a garden in the middle of South Scranton. As they look ahead to another growing season, they hope to find more land to cultivate produce for those in need across the city. WVIA's Kat Bolas visited the garden.
Tucked away by the slope of the land off Cedar Avenue is a long rectangular garden. It helps feed the refugee families, body and spirit. Some corn, lots of tomatoes, squash, cabbage, carrots, and beans still grow in mid-fall. John Mukello is the head gardener. Volunteers also till the land.
It's just that sense of togetherness, sense of community. Having access to fresh food here is a problem. So this is just a way to try to address that problem.
That's Ushu Mukello, John's son and president of the Congolese community of Scranton. He founded the nonprofit to make the refugee transition easier.
This is all thanks to Frank Dubas.
Community advocate and businessman Frank Dubas lends the plot in the 900 block of Cedar Avenue to the Congolese community. He helps them with grants and provides water to nourish the plants.
The harvest has been great for the last 4 years. Even this time, we're really happy about the harvest. But the families have increased.
There are now nearly 500 refugees from the Congo living in Scranton. The African country is rich with minerals. Armed groups battle over people and resources. The unrest causes widespread poverty, violence, and chaos, and forced many families into refugee camps and to apply for the U.S.'s Refugee Admissions Program. Pesky squirrels sneak through the growing plants and take nibbles of produce alongside beetles. The garden is a green oasis between a condemned personal care home and a white building made up of apartments. Mukello says the Congolese community is very concerned about nutrition. Access to food is a problem where they come from. In the United States, they feel like people eat a lot, and much of it is processed food. They worry about diabetes and cancer.
So the quality of food is something every family is really thinking so hard about.
The garden helps families save money on groceries. Michello says in the U.S., they take every job that's available to them. And most jobs are low paying.
So you can imagine, and then a family of seven, even food stamps, the SNAP benefits, are not enough to run them through the whole month. So they end up spending some of their own monies on food. So there's a lot of stress when it comes to financial stability for many of our families. And this is just that one piece that actually helps address that.
There's the nutritional and financial benefits to the garden, but there's also the physical health benefits. Michello says Africans have a very strong connection to the soil and to the land.
And I think one way to connect back is having a place where we can cultivate, have fresh food, and, you know, do some work in the outside, get fresh air.
Eventually, they'd love to give back to the community that they now call home and replicate the garden all over the city.
The plan is, like, the elders want us to produce more food so we can actually give some to places like St. Francis of Assisi, maybe the homeless people. We have to be able to consume, but also be able to give the surplus to other people as well.
Michello says the point is sharing is caring. Reporting from a garden in South Scranton, I'm Kat Bolis, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Find more of this story at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
You know WVIA as your arts, news, and information station. It's time to add local sports to the list. Get ready for Sports Voices, a new feature where we partner with Fox 56 TV sports director Bob Ide to discuss the latest local sports news from around Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. We'll look ahead to the week's key games in high school sports, collegiate athletics, and more. Tune in to WVIA-FM at 7:51 and 9:51 a.m. every Friday morning.
Welcome back. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Domestic Violence Service Center is the only organization that provides emergency shelter and resources for survivors from Luzerne and Carbon counties. WVIA's Lydia McFarland visited the center, and just a note, the shelter residents' names will not be used in this story for safety reasons.
A resident left her abusive relationship after 22 years.
I stayed because I wanted my kids to have that happy home. But I finally realized this last time there was nothing happy about it. Us being together didn't make anything happier. It made it worse.
She's been at the shelter since January. And in March, she transitioned to the center's Bridge Housing Program. It provides transitional housing to women and their children for up to 1 year. Isabella Ciccoli is the development and fundraising coordinator.
We're the sole shelter, emergency housing shelter, for survivors of domestic violence. That means our services are tailored specifically to survivors of domestic violence.
Services include legal help, therapy, help finding permanent housing, and more. Veda Tefera is a therapist at the center. Her job can be emotionally heavy, but she finds it very rewarding.
People do get out, and people do move on with their lives. And I get to see that sometimes because I do have contact with people beyond their time in the shelter. I get to see those success stories too.
Danielle Keith Alexandre is the executive director. She says the shelter's success rate is between 85 and 90%. In Pittston, I'm Lydia McFarland, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia, for that story. Now, for help, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE or text HOME to 741-741 to contact the crisis text line and connect with a crisis counselor. And you can find more of this story at WVIA.org. All right, one last thing for you today. We've got another Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
Williamsport has a lot of stories to tell and evidently a lot of songs to sing. According to records kept at the Williamsport-Lycoming Chamber of Commerce, there are a number of songs you likely recognize with origins in central Pennsylvania. One is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, written by gospel composer James Milton Black. James M. Black was born in New York, but lived, worked, and died in Williamsport. He's also credited with coming up with the melody of a 19th century Christian hymn known as When the Saints Go Marching In, eventually made into a jazz standard by Louis Armstrong. Soon enough, you may be hearing another famous Williamsport tune, this one written by a clergyman and hymnist. The Reverend John Henry Hopkins was pastor of Williamsport's Christ Episcopal Church. He's credited for writing many hymns, among them the holiday favorite, We Three Kings. I'm Julie Sidoni. This is a Pennsylvania Postcard from WVIA News.
So, I hope you're feeling all caught up and ready for the day. As always, you can find more stories at WVIA.org or on the WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Don't forget to subscribe and listen every weekday so you don't miss a beat. Enjoy your Wednesday, everyone, and congrats on making it to the middle of this week. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.